Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in. All right, someone stand up. Come on, stand up real quick. Someone shout out, Jesus. Say, we love you. We believe in you. We want what you have for us. Just close your eyes, lift up your hands to God like this and say, Jesus, I want what you have for me. How many of you know that prophecy, that the Spirit of Jesus is prophecy? How many of you know that? That God desires to speak to you. If you believe that, just lift your hands up a little higher right now. You see, I just believe God has something for me today. Now, it may be in the body of what is being preached. It may be personally that God says something to you while you're sitting there. It could be that that Ryan speaks something over you. I don't know. It doesn't matter. What matters is that it's God, and he speaks, and he does have something for you. And if you position yourself correctly, how many of you know God will say what he needs to say? And for those who he doesn't need to say anything to, don't feel bad. Be happy. Sometimes the one that the parent doesn't speak to is the one who's behaving. Come on, somebody. Someone give God a hand clap right now. All right, so I just have, you can be seated. I have the privilege of introducing to you part of our spiritual family. This is his first time here at City Church. I met Ryan last year, right, in September, almost exactly a year ago, in New York when we were doing a conference there. And, of course, Charlie Coker was up there and Joel and Pam Witcher were there, and Randy Hughes was there, and I got to meet this guy I've been hearing about. And I really thought he was just a shadow, because I've been hearing about this guy, Ryan Bastris. Say that right. All right. My kids are like, what's his last name again? I said, say it right. Yeah, yeah. But listen, so, you know, I've been hearing about this guy. Like Charlie, I'd hear it. Ron, I'd hear about him. Kevin talked about Ryan Bastris. Ooh, Ryan Bastris. He got the word of the Lord. Oh, he can prophesy. Ah, he can preach. Ah. And I'm like, you know, when you hear about something for a real long time, you know, and you hear about it, but you don't see it, right? It's like a black diamond steak. You know, I heard about this black diamond steak for years and years and years. It was like Sam Eckert would tell me about this black diamond steak. Like it was this dry-aged steak, and it was the best steak ever. Woo, black diamond steak, you know. And every time somebody would talk about steaks, Sam would bring out black diamond steak, right? Well, I never saw the thing. So how many of you know after a while of not seeing something, you start to wonder, is it really real, right? Well, how many of you know that when you get the real thing, like if you'd actually bite into a hot, juicy black diamond steak that's prepared to perfection, coming off the grill sizzling, you take that first bite, how many of you know it does something on the inside of you? You know, it make the baby jump on the inside of you, right? Well, look, that's what occurred when I met this young man, Ryan Bastris. Because not only is he part of our family, but he's carrying a mantle of a prophet from God. And listen, if you can receive a prophet, in the name of a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. You get the reward that comes from receiving someone like that, right? And so I suggest, I encourage you to be able to receive this man in that way, because he has something to impart here in this house, into this region, into this house, and into you. Would you stand up and give a gigantic City Church welcome to my nephew, Charlie Coker, son in the Lord, Ryan Bastris, a prophet of God.
So good. Love that extended clap, whoever was doing that. That was amazing. Come on. Hey, guys, it's so good to barely see all of you. Now I'm just playing those stage lights. That's amazing. How y'all doing? Man, God is so good. And we're going to dive real quick right into the Word of God here in just a minute. But I want my family to get to know me just a little bit. Man, let me just say this. I feel such a connection to this place already. How about your pastor, Pastor Brian? Isn't he amazing? And his wife is amazing. And, Yeah, I felt right at home. I won't get into details of what she did to me, but Pastor Janice did something to me last night and just made me feel right at home, made me feel welcome. You know what I mean? And love Pastor Brian. I was hearing a lot about Pastor Brian as well from Pastor Charlie. And man, his, you know, Pastor Charlie has such a love for you, and you have such a love for him. And so I was hearing so much about Pastor Brian, Brian Higbee. And so it was awesome to be able to meet your pastor last year. And he, I believe, almost instantly became family, and definitely became family when I wised up and made or chose to honor God and make Pastor Charlie a spiritual father. And it's just hilarious. Like, my personality, when you get to know me, is polar opposite almost to Pastor Charlie, you know? And it's just funny that Pastor Charlie is the spiritual father, because you're not going to get really profound, deep, crazy, in-your-face slaps from me, but you will get some revelation in my way, you know? But anyways, and I love Pastor Charlie, and I honor that man and honor what comes from him. You know what I'm saying? I really do honor what comes from him, but he has a grace on his life that I'm not operating in. I kind of side more with your Pastor Brian, so it's a good uncle, you know? Like, after I'm done being beat up by Pastor Charlie, I'll run to Uncle Brian and say, Just love me, you know what I'm saying? Just love me, because Pastor Brian has the ability to love, but it's corrective, but it's a good thing, you know? I told him last night, your Pastor Brian has a scalpel in his hand. He has a sword, but he has a scalpel, and he is a surgeon of the Lord. And really listen to what he drops, because what he drops is God performing spiritual surgery on the body to improve the function of the body and to equip the body, heal the body, and strengthen the body. So with that said, my name's Ryan. I have a beautiful wife at home. Her name is Kirsten, and she is mighty fine. You know, I look at her, and I'm like, Lord, you do miracles. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I look at myself, and I look at her, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know how this happened, but I thank you that favor is unmerited. You know what I'm saying? And I don't have to have special qualifications. I'm your son, and you thought it would be good for me to connect with her because you didn't want me to be alone. Thank you, Jesus. You know, but her name is Kirsten. I have a 9-year-old boy who's going to be turning 10. His name is Landon. People say he looks just like me, and he's good looking. So, you know, hey. And then I have a beautiful daughter that unfortunately looks like me too right now. Pray for her. Seriously, she should look like her mama, not her daddy. You know that old country song, she's got her mama's looks and her daddy's money, you know what I mean? Well, we're still working on daddy's money part, but she's got daddy's looks too, so we need to pray for deliverance for her. But anyways, I love my family, and I'll be actually with you guys, and then I'm going to get down the road shortly after in the afternoon so I can go pick my boy up, and we're going to spend Labor Day together. So I'm looking forward to that. Love being with family. I've been on the road since Thursday. But we lead a ministry called Wake Ministries. Not woke, Wake, okay? And we established Wake Ministries before there was a woke culture, you know what I'm saying? And help us, Jesus, you know? But so Wake Ministries in a woke culture, that is amazing, you know? But our heart is to equip and empower the body of Christ. And honestly, I'll go as the Lord leads. And I feel like there's a green light until he gives me a red one. And we go to nations to really just see people encounter the kingdom and encounter the power of God in his presence. And then out of that, an equipping and an empowering takes place. And my heart is just to be a leader to leaders, to be a pastor to pastors, but more importantly, just be a brother, be a son, and just be a part of family. And out, because watch, how many of you know there is so much talked about around the dinner table? There's so much that comes out at the table of fellowship. And I really believe God is wanting to bring his body back to the table, to fellowship obviously with him, but to actually fellowship with one another in unity. And so my heart is to operate in unity and to walk in relationship with people. People quickly adopt me into their family, and that's an honor. I love it. And I'm going to force myself into this family, which I don't think I have to, because Pastor Brian has already welcomed me. But you guys are already special, and I haven't even gotten to meet half of you. But I feel a connection to this place, and it's an honor to be here. Some quick little facts about me. I love hunting. I love to hunt. How many? Do we have hunters in the house? Come on. Do we have vegetarians in the house? Because we can pray for your deliverance at the altar today. I didn't think Pastor Brian would have vegetarians in the house. Not just because, like, sometimes I'm like, I love to hunt, and you can tell the vegetarians in the room because, like, an instant judgment. You know what I mean? Like, I can't listen to anything he says. He's a hunter. You know what I mean? But we'll pray for your deliverance and your breakthrough later. No, just messing. You do you, and I'll do me. Amen. But love to hunt, love to fish, love the outdoors. I'd rather be in the mountains than the beach. I love the outdoors, and I love just taking in God's creation. I was praying and prophesying over some people last night at Pastor Brian's, and saw a deer coming into the woods and briefly got distracted, you know, or not even the woods, it was in the field. So that's just a little bit about me. I know this is going to get some booze, but I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan, and I got a brother back there, it's brother and sister, and we are sheep in the midst of wolves, my brother and sister. But I love sports, love football, and Philadelphia Eagles all the way, and boo to Steelers. But anyways, we'll pray for your deliverance as well in Jesus' name. But I thought the Bible said train up a child in the way he should go. Your pastor misled you on the sports team choice, you know? Like, bless Pastor, Lord. Give him clarity in Jesus' name. But anyways, I better jump right into the word. I do that better. Or I will never be invited back. But let me say this, guys. It's an honor to share this stage with your pastor, but more importantly, it's been a privilege already to share a meal with you, just to fellowship, and I look forward to future fellowship and relationship with all of you. Amen. So before I get into the word that I believe the Lord wants me to release over the house, there is a few things that I feel like I need to release over the house, and I believe I have the permission to do so, or I wouldn't be having the mic if I didn't. I had a somewhat of a vision this morning, and this is for Pastor Brian and for Janice, but it's for this house. Amen? So I want you guys to receive this, not just for the church, but receive it for your own home. Amen? And I'm releasing it over your pastors as the head elders, as the head of this church and of this movement. But how many of you know that whatever is poured on the head falls into the beard, you know? And y'all are the beard, and God's like, receive this because it's yours because you're attached to the head. Amen. But I had somewhat of a vision, Pastor Brian, last night into this morning. It was like this morning it started to really get defined to me, and we can talk about it, and I'll explain more later. But what I saw in the spirit, I believe, is I saw you, because you were talking about the mountain and the lines and stuff like that, of just spiritual pathways and stuff like that. But I saw in the spirit this morning you rolling up a specific line, like removing a specific line, and it was almost like this line that even ran through not just this church, but the church in this region. But I felt like you were both operating in such an authority to roll up that religious tormenting line that was established by the wrong spirit. And I saw then in the spirit you guys removing like a tablecloth. You ever see like that trick that people do, that party trick where they take the tablecloth and they rip it real fast, but then the dishes and the candles and everything that's on the table remain? They're shook a little bit, but they rest on the table rather than the tablecloth, because there's a ripping that took place, and it was so fast, and with the force, the objects on the table had couldn't catch up, they couldn't fall, they just dropped right onto the ground, right onto the table. And that's what I saw, Pastor. I saw this brief removing of a tablecloth, right? And it was the removing of a tablecloth, but the dishes were staying put. And what I believe the Lord was revealing to me with those two thoughts, those two visions, is I believe that the Lord says through intercession and through your militancy and your governing authority over this region, that there is this removal, right, of a religious tormenting line that has crept into the church but has been in the region and has found itself in homes. I just felt like the Lord says, you're going to see in the physical, in the physical, what you have been doing in the spirit with the Lord, and you are going to see the benefits of this corrupt line, so to speak, and that's the only way I can explain it, this corrupt line being removed. And it's almost like whenever something that's corrupt is lifted, people, you know, rejoice because of the liberty, the freedom from that oppression. And I just want to release that over the house, that if there's any line of torment or any line of spiritual disruption from the enemy, maybe this religious spirit has been wreaking havoc, and the people that have been posturing their hearts in intercession and in prayer, but also declaration, operating in your authority, the Lord says you're about ready to see in the physical the work that you've been doing in the spiritual, and there's a rolling up of that line, a removing of that injustice, and I believe the shouts of praise will be on your lips as you experience the liberty physically and spiritually and mentally, feel the liberty of this line being rolled up and removed. It's good news. So then the second thing is, okay, why the ripping of the tablecloth, but the dishes standing still or remaining on the table? It was like a removing of the old foundation. And like whatever these beautiful things that were supposed to be in our lives, it remained, but it was like it was rooted on the wrong foundation. And what I see you doing, Pastor Brian and Janice and those that are operating prophetically and in their authority, and this is for everybody who's taken authority over their home, their marriage, or whatever. Maybe there is delicate, beautiful things that are on a table, and this is just a metaphor. And there is things that maybe it's on, and God is, I believe, abruptly bringing an end to some things and ripping that tablecloth off and firming you up on the right foundation, removing the tablecloth and putting you guys on something that is solid, something of depth, something of a good sound structure, to where those things that have been shaken, come on, are actually going to be firmed up and become stable as the hand of the Lord removes the tablecloth, so to speak, and roots and grounds things that have been a little rocky. God's going to actually bring a firm establishment to some of those things, to where they don't shake and aren't rocking. And I feel like this is that tablecloth represents injustice, it represents unrighteousness, it represents wrong ideologies, wrong identity. God is removing those things that the dishes have been resting on. Your minds, your marriages, your finances, hello? And God is removing that corruption, cleansing, doing some cleansing in those places that may have been disrupted, that tablecloth representing the injustice, the unrighteousness, the non-favorables, okay, that maybe have found itself being the foundation of your finances and marriage and your territory. But I felt like the Lord says that my hand as a father, and that's why I believe I saw Pastor Brian ripping that tablecloth, is because God says he represents father. Come on. And I see the father, the strong hand of the Lord, removing that injustice so that your assets can rest on a firm foundation and be built up and prosper because of the right foundation. It's kind of like King Josiah, whenever he committed to the Lord and brought the people back to worshiping God, they cleansed the land of Baal and the prostitutes and so on and so forth. And I just felt like the Lord wanted me to really explain this to you quickly, that there is a cleansing coming. And it's almost like God is ripping that tablecloth and causing things to be on the table, a firm foundation. And you guys, again, will erupt in a praise as you see the unstable become stable. So, Lord, we release that in Jesus' name. The second thing, really quick, as I was writing this, being a prophet, being prophetic, you pick up on things that maybe others don't. And sometimes that can be a good thing. Sometimes that can be a bad thing, because not everything is meant to be prophetic. You just stubbed your toe. You know what I'm saying? But I felt like the Lord did speak to me, because I was writing that out, what I just released over you. And then all of a sudden, my pen started running out. And I had to get a new one, right? And the Lord spoke to me, because it was like the ink was running out of that pen, and I needed a new one. I needed a new pen with fresh ink. And I feel like there are some of you in this house that have been really banking on the old pen, the old ink, the anointing, like what God has done, right? And that's absolutely amazing. And some of you are coveting what you had. But the Lord says, man, this is a season I'm giving this church a new pen. There's a new flow coming. There's this new ink coming, this new anointing coming. And it's going to give you the ability to write a new story with God. There's this new flow coming. There's this new movement coming. There's this new flow, this new release from the Lord that has come upon your church, but you're at the beginning stages of something that's going to get so deep and expand so wide that you guys are going to take the new pen, so to speak, and write and document these new movements that are taking place. It's cool to honor what was, but God says that, man, I want you to forget those things which lie behind and get ready because you're leaning into this new flow and this new outpouring of the Lord, a new pen. I know that sounds weird, but prophets can be weird and get away with it. There is a new pen coming. Come on, somebody. This new flow that's taking place, right? Because if you see my paper, you can tell where my pen stopped working. Come on, somebody. And I had to get a new pen. And I just want to release this over some of you as well. There is some things that you've done before that worked before. And you're trying to get as much out of that as you can. But the Lord says, I'm bringing new strategies to the house. I'm bringing a new flow of revelation. I'm releasing a new command over you guys that you're to navigate and to partner with. And in that, you'll step into a new function, a new flow. And the Lord says that things will be enhanced. Things will be readable, so to speak. And you'll be able to write with a new story while you're walking out these new commands of the Lord. Some of you have experienced disruption, and I just release as a prophet of the Lord that there's a new flow of revelation coming to you. There's some of you who may have had like writer's block metaphorically, and you're not a novelist, you're not a writer, but there is certain things that used to flow before, but it's disrupted. The Lord wants me to release over you that you're getting a new pen. You're getting a new flow. There's new ink. There's new revelation. There's new insight. There's new depths that God is bringing this church into. Come on. We set memory stones up for what has happened, and I feel like God says you're about ready to document new things. The Lord is bringing you into a place where you're going to set a new memory stone, says the Lord. Every scripture that was penned by men was breathed upon by God. And there is it's a new wind to us, but it's God's breath that has lasted for eternity and will always last for eternity. There's this new breath that we're about ready to inhale from the Lord, that you guys are about ready to inhale from the Lord. It's like whenever God breathed into dirt and dirt inhaled what God exhaled and there was man. You guys are about ready to experience a new exhale from the Lord. And you're about ready to inhale that thing and document what God has breathed. You're getting a new pen. That's all I got to say. Like, not that anything is wrong with what you've experienced, but the Lord is about ready to release a new flow. Because watch, some of you are living in insanity and need a new strategy and stop leaning on the old one. And God is about ready to pull out that new pen and write the strategy that will unlock things and release things and also relieve you of things in this season. See, pens are used to write sign up documents to connect people to things, but also to release people from something. Whenever me and my wife bought our house in 2020 during the pandemic, come on. Well, the bank bought it, but, you know, we're paying them back. But we were in the office, right, with the couple that was selling us their house. They used the pen to release the house from their responsibility and authority, but we signed and connected, right, in a legal contract. We connected to something. They were relieved of something. We were brought into a restraint with something just by the sign of a pen, with a pen. And the reason I'm saying this, and look back on this, I don't want to I don't want to rush, but I also don't want to spend too much more time on this. But I heard the Spirit of the Lord say just now that this is a season that with the writing of a pen in the Spirit from the Lord, it's just God moving. I'm not saying he has a pen, but as he writes, he's signing off on something. And some of you are about ready to experience release and relief. But also the Lord says that I'm signing documents that are about ready to connect you to the thing that you've longed for. Me and my wife for 5 years longed for a house. But having a past, having debt, and having a job that's not favorable with the bank called ministry, it took us 5 years to be connected or united with our desire. But then after the right conversations, we were able to use a pen and connect ourselves to something that we desired, and it was all the hand of the Lord because we did it during a pandemic. And the reason I'm saying this is, come on, you guys are about ready to experience such a peculiar favor that the Lord, as he writes, like the couple that wrote their names down to release something to us, God, I believe in this season, is writing his signature, so to speak, to release something new and fresh on this house. Not that anything's wrong, not that you guys are dormant or dull. God is just releasing a fresh fire, a fresh revelation, and a fresh movement in this place. But I also believe God is signing on the dotted line, so to speak, to connect you personally as well as corporately to the things that you've longed for. You're about ready to gain access to territory, and you're about ready to be joined up with the things you've been interceding and praying for. The Lord wants me to tell you this, that this church is going to become so enriched that you guys are going to even gain access to buildings and enrich this region. I feel like God is going to send in laborers, businessmen and women, to actually be the ones who lead the businesses that surround this church. I'm not saying that's solely your pastor's responsibility, and I'm not saying that's your singular vision as a church, but the Lord says that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent suffer it by force. I'm sorry, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And there is things that you guys have been taking by force through intercession in the Spirit. And I believe that physically the keys are going to be handed over as you have spiritually been fighting and interceding and taking authority. God says keys to cities and traction to land will be given because God is releasing a pen. He's releasing a signature that relieves you of some things, but is also going to release you and connect you to some things. And Janice, I heard the Spirit of the Lord tell me that there is treasures that you've held on to, but I saw this being a season of hesitancy or any restriction being broken that have tied your hands. And as you have opened up your hands, I saw these treasures that you honor and that you honor from the Lord and you steward. But I believe this is a season, the things that you have stewarded privately, God is going to have you release publicly. I feel like there is things inside of you that are of treasure and have benefited you and your family, but the Lord says, now we're going to take it up a notch and you're going to step into something that's uncomfortable. And as you release your hands, it's not getting rid of the treasures, it's releasing the treasures. And there's a new level of authority and a new level of anointing that you're going to operate in as you release the prophetic voice that is in you, but also the teacher mandate that's on you and all of the other things that are inside of you that are of great worth and value. God says, don't be blinded by your inability to where you feel what you have is insignificant. What you have inside of you is significant, and you've operated on in it in a specific level, but God's now up in the ante and is going to cause you to operate in a new level. And I felt like this is a season, Janice, that you are about ready to be taken. Wow. There is some things that you've been really pressing up against, like I see in the Spirit, you pressing up against, not vigorously, not like by the sweat of your brow, just by authority, you're leaning on that thing and you're praying. I see you praying and you're like, Lord, that thing's going to break. That thing's going to break. That thing's going to break. I'm just going to lean on it. I'm praying and I'm interceding. And there's things that have had stubbornness and have had longevity. Its presence in your life has been long, outlived, expiration date way beyond where it should be. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say that this is a season that you're about ready to taste the sweetness. And I'm going to use Pastor Brian's analogy of our enemies, our giants becoming our bread. You're about ready to taste the sweet jelly that's on the bread of your adversary. As you lean in, I just saw you pushing through. You leaned up against, but now you're going to push through and see that thing topple. And I see you stepping in and gaining traction with authority into new territories that you're going to steward for the Lord. And the last thing, I know this is a lot, but the last thing that I heard saw Pastor Brian was you were getting new navigation stuff. It's almost like a captain of a ship. And I don't know all the technical terms of this stuff, but these dials and stuff, the compasses and all of this like weather stuff, and God was putting this in your hands. And I believe this is a season of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation being released over you, to where your eyes of understanding are going to be open so that you can navigate your family and your church family through the waters that have been uncharted, because the Lord says, I am writing my signature, so to speak, with that pen and opening up a whole new thing for you and releasing you guys in it, but I'm preparing you to be able to navigate through it and implement the strategy and implement the plan so that it goes well and successful. This is a season of getting navigation. This is a season of wisdom and revelation through action coming into your hearts and opening up the eyes of your understanding. It doesn't mean your pastor's ignorant. That means he's humble. And God says, I'm releasing certain navigational things in this season for such a time as this. Amen? If you receive that, say amen. All right, that was prophecy. You can't hold it against me, but I promise you I'm not going to hold you long. Well, that's my intentions for this teaching. So if you have your Bibles, I believe it's going to be up on the screen. I want to jump into what I believe the Lord gave me most of it this morning. So your prayers worked, right? I must have slept and the Spirit was speaking, because the Lord started unraveling something. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me, if you can, and it will be on the screen, or pull it up on your phone, to Deuteronomy chapter 23. That's in the Old Testament, obviously, but Deuteronomy 23. You guys all right? Are you cool with me breaking something down real quick? Deuteronomy chapter 23, and yes, it's going to be verses 9 through 14. And so just turn your attention to it. I'm going to read it, and we're going to turn to one other place, pray, and get on our way. Amen? So it says this in Deuteronomy 23, verse 9. It says, when the army goes out against your enemies, then keep yourself from every wicked thing. Whew. Can I tell you something? Your obedience will always give you, I'll say, military advantage over your enemy. See, it's tempting and easy to dismiss obedience in the presence of opposition. Let me say that again. It's tempting and easy to dismiss obedience in the presence of opposition. But the thing that I felt like the Lord wanted me to start this message out with is this. Don't allow opposition to be the means of your justification as to why you were disobedient or will be disobedient. Because how many of you know there's enemies? Come on, there's an army. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. How many of you know that there's an army of our enemies coming against us, but in verse 9 he says, keep yourself. Can I tell you something? How many of you know that you can just turn on Fox News, Fox News, you know, right? Other news outlets, whatever, right? And I'm not saying always turn to the news outlet, but you can turn the news on and you can see the army approaching, the army present, the army all around us. Come on. I was just speaking with the business owner of a restaurant and how she had to navigate through COVID, and now she has to navigate as a business owner, a restaurant, through inflation. Got to counsel her just a little bit, pray and prophesy over her, which I love to do. Just did that on Friday. We go through things. The enemy's advancing. And if I can just make this statement, repeat it again on purpose, don't allow opposition to be the means of your justification as to why you're being disobedient. Why are you saying that, Ryan? I'm saying that because in the presence of inflation, you should not justify why you're being disobedient in giving your tithe or your offering or your commitment to the Lord. Keep yourself. Keep yourself. And this is what he said in verse 9. I'm sorry. When the army goes out against your enemies, then keep yourself from every wicked thing. It's like whenever the Israelites in Exodus are free and they're with Moses, and now the Israelites see a dust cloud in the horizon because Pharaoh and his men is trying to come and get them back. They're freaking out. They're probably disordered in that moment. Disillusioned, freaked out by what they see. And Moses, under the anointing, I believe, of the Lord, says, be still and you'll see the salvation of the Lord. Can I tell you something? Be still. Continue to walk in the obedience that you committed to with the Lord before opposition. Be still. Seek him. Be still, continue to have faith. Be still, continue to be obedient. And I prophesy over you like Moses did the children of Israel. You'll see the salvation of the Lord. Verse 10. If there is any man among you who becomes unclean by some occurrence in the night, when he shall go out, shall go outside the camp, he shall not come inside the camp. But it shall be when evening comes that he shall wash with water, and when the sun sets, he may come into the camp. Also, you shall have a place outside the camp where you may go out, and you shall have a shovel among your equipment. That's what I'll say, because it is a shovel among your equipment. And when you sit down outside, you shall dig with it and turn and cover. There's all kinds of, which one, cover your excrement, your stuff. I'll just say it, your poop. Dig a hole, poop, cover it. Come back into the camp. You guys okay? Verse 14, for the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and give you your enemies over to you. Therefore, your camp shall be holy. See, your holiness, man, your right standing with the Lord always gives you an advantage over the adversary and his corruption. So that is the power of your righteousness. Reflect and believe on it. I'm holy. I am righteous before the Lord. And I'm going to keep myself righteous and holy before the Lord. And in the midst of opposition, I will not give myself to an idol that corrupts my relationship with the Lord. And if I keep myself and I remain in my righteousness and I walk out my righteousness, I walk out the steps that are ordered for me, the righteous one, I will have advantage over the enemy. The righteous is always promised victory. What he was doing here, because he says, holy, that he may see no unclean thing among you and turn away from you. What God was speaking of in Deuteronomy 23 was cleanliness of the campsite. I want you to keep that in mind as we continue. If you have your Bibles or look to the screen, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 22. You guys okay? Luke 22. Luke 22, and I want you to look just real quick to verses 23 through 30. You're like, man, that's a lot of Bible. Well, listen, if I preach bad, at least you got some good Bible. Luke chapter 22, 23 through 30. And it says this, 22, 23 through 30. And it says this, then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. Time out, Last Supper, Jesus is talking to his disciples about one in their midst that's going to betray him. We know it's Judas. But they're reasoning, they're questioning among themselves which of them it was. Woo. Verse 24. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. Verse 26, but not so among you. On the contrary, he who is the greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. See, they're wondering, They're wondering who's the greatest or who's going to be the greatest, the largest, the strongest. Who is that? And I'm sure Peter's there. It's probably me. I'm just saying. You know, Thomas is probably, I don't think it's me. You know, and they're having this dispute among themselves. Who's the greatest? And Jesus is like, listen, man, you're not the greatest because you sit on a throne. You're the greatest when you get off that throne and serve. Can I tell you something? Instead of taking revelation of your identity and allowing it to empower your ego, why don't you seek the Lord until, watch this, you take on your full identity and become a servant? Paul says, you know what? This is what Jesus said to me when he appeared to me on the road to Damascus. Jesus said this to Paul. I appeared to you for this reason, to make you a minister and a witness. Do you know minister there means servant? And I appeared to you for you to be a witness. You know what witness means? You get the word martyr from it. He says, so I appeared to you to make you a servant and for you to die. See, we want Jesus to appear. Like, Jesus, we want you to appear. Come and have your way. And Jesus is saying, I appear not to empower your ego or to show you how great and superior you are above your brother. I actually appeared to you to cleanse your camp from ego and pride, and actually empower you to become a servant. And watch, you become a servant to all when you die to the things that are in you that empower your ego to not serve. Verse 27, for who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? It is not he who sits at the table. Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. So Jesus is like, if there's anyone that is the greatest amongst you, it's me. But he wasn't on an ego trip because he came to serve. Tempted in all ways, but without sin, because he knew what it meant to be in the flesh, but die to the flesh and live in the spirit. And he says, I'm here to serve, because before this, he washes their feet. He's like, if there's anyone that could be called the greatest, it's me. And I am that I am. But I came to serve. Verse 28, but you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at the table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But watch this. He's saying, but I served. So you're going to sit at the table, or you're going to go and take what you've been eating and serve others with it? There's a reason I'm saying all of this today, real quick, with the little bit of time that I have left that I'm giving myself. I want to teach or preach and prophesy from this title, Get Your Shovels. Get your shovels. Can we pray? Jesus, I pray that you bless this word. Pray that you anoint this word. Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would have your way and anoint this word. And everybody said, amen. What led me to this is I saw your pastor leaning on a shovel last night, and it wasn't because he's like an average PennDOT worker. No, he's not. I said he's not. There was sweat on his head, and he was leaning on the shovel. And what I'm seeing in the spirit now is others coming with shovels. So get your shovels. Because God has cleansed and is cleansing this camp, but God's going to use this camp to bring a cleansing to this region. And that's going to make sense in just a moment. But how many of you know it's easy to grab a shovel and start digging up and tearing down and digging out and placing and planting things for others? But the Lord says, I first want you to lean on that shovel like your pastor. And I want you to look inward. And I want you and me to examine your heart. And I want to pull out of you. I want to dig out of you. Not just the gold so it can benefit others. I want to dig out of you what has been disrupting you and others. I believe this is a season like never before for a cleanliness to sweep over the body of Christ, where he purifies things in our heart. And you might be like, well, I'm washed in the blood. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. But you still have an attitude in traffic. And I feel like there is this cleansing that God is doing in the body. And that's going to make more sense in just a minute. But this shovel isn't just to dig out. This shovel is meant to dig deep. And I believe this is a church that is digging out what shouldn't be there, or bringing out the gold that should be present to bless and serve others. But I also believe that this church has its shovels, or you should get your shovels and be a part of this church who has a heart to go deep. You get a shovel to dig deep because you're dissatisfied with the surface. There is things that don't grow on the surface that last long. The things that last long are the things that are planted deep. And God wants you to remain planted by the rivers of water where you're not moved. But you're moved if you're shallow. But you're unmovable when you're in the deep. So it's time to get our shovels with the Lord and dig deep. See, if you don't read the scriptures with Holy Spirit, which I know you do, but if we don't, we have put our shovel in the shed and we miss out on the depths that the word of the Lord has. But those who grab their shovels and say, Holy Spirit, reveal something to me, are ones that go into the deep recesses and caverns of that word. And to watch where their hearts and minds get established, where they are trees that are planted by the rivers of water that will not be moved. Jesus says, if you hear these sayings of mine, how many of you know the sayings of Jesus are deep? Jesus is saying, get your shovels with and dig with me. Let's go deep. He says, if you hear these sayings of mine and do them, I'll liken you unto a man who built on the rock. And the storm came, but the house did not fall because it was rooted on a firm foundation, and that firm foundation runs deep. Weeds that grow on the surface can be easily removed and can be easily scorched up by the heat of the sun. But those things that are planted deep and have the proper water, hello, we should let Jesus wash our feet every day, cleansing us and strengthening us. But those who have the proper water, nutrients, revelation that's found in Jesus and abiding in him, hears his sayings and does them, has depth, and it's hard to move that person. See, there's a lot of people who have heard, but do they believe? And do they operate, even in the midst of the storm, operate in what God has revealed that's deep in the presence of the storm? Or are they like those who know the thoughts of God but build on the sand because they choose to believe and walk out and do those thoughts? Remember how David says in Psalms, he says, how great are the thoughts that God has towards me, the things that he thinks towards me. He says, they're like the grains of sand. Remember that? They're like the grains of sand that cover the whole earth. That's a lot of thoughts, y'all. I hate the beach because that sand gets everywhere. You come home 3 weeks later, you're still picking out sand from your toes and other places that I won't mention. I don't like it. It can be agitating and frustrating to find sand all over the place, but that's how many thoughts that God has for us. And it's more than what you collect on your body. It's more than the sand, the grains of sand that cover the whole earth. What are you talking about? Isn't it peculiar that when Jesus says, if you hear these sayings of mine and don't do them, I'll liken you unto a man who built on the sand? You know what the Lord showed me, Janice? This is what the Lord showed me. Just real quick, I'm going to stay here. But you know what the Lord said to me? The Lord said to me, he says, Ryan, he says, go to Psalms 139, he said, and I did in my head, or however he was talking to me. And he said, Ryan, he says, those who build on the sand are those who are enamored by my thoughts, but don't choose to believe them, put them on, wear them, and walk them out. They have my thoughts, but they build on the sand. Because they got the thoughts, but they fail to believe. And
And then the storm comes and they question what I think about them. But those who build on the rock have actually received them, allowed that sand to become like cement, building up in them a firm foundation so that when the storm comes, they're rooted deep in that truth. They believe that truth. Even in the midst of opposition, they're obedient to that truth. And guess what? The storm is still there for them, but they walk successful, travailing over it, having advantage over it, because obedience to the commands of the Lord will always give you an advantage over the threats and the terrors of the enemy. Is this making sense? Jesus is saying, I need some people that are deep, so get your shovels. I got to move on. Real quick, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 13 through 14. We read this. I'm not going to read it again, obviously, but it was talking about cleaning the camp. It was a cleansing. He was looking for cleanliness. Here we see God was looking for sanitary cleanliness. You go out, do your business, dig a hole, do your business, cover it up, and then come back inside of the camp. Right? For personal and public health conditions, he was like, listen, I want you to dig a hole. I want you to plant this stuff and move on. And you might be like, okay, Ryan, how do you go from depth with a shovel to this? It's time to get our shovels, dig a hole, and bury outside of our camp those things that are a sanitary caution or issue to us and the public if they remain. Jesus is saying, I'm getting my shovel out, and I want to dig those things out of you that can create a public health condition in your marriage, in your family, in your church, in your ministry. Like, I want to dig these things out and remove them from your camp. Is this making sense? He was like, listen, this is what I wrote down. He was wanting them to do this in Deuteronomy to prevent and preserve. Because how many of you know if there was fecal matter all over the camp, that would be annoying. Not just the health threat. Can I tell you something? There is a lot of us that have so much junk in us, but God loves us anyways, and I love you too. I got junk too. And God's like, man, you need to take that out of the camp. Because it's a health issue. It's a health concern in the camp. You're complaining about something that you can fix if you would just get the poop out of you. If you would get a shovel, dig a hole outside of the camp and bury that thing, cause it to rest in peace, you'll get peace in the camp. We pray with no shovel and wonder why we're on the sand when the storm comes, our marriage is in trouble. It's because we haven't gotten the poop out of us and buried it outside of the camp. Gonna move on. But he did it to prevent and preserve, to prevent annoyance, but to also preserve and exercise modesty and natural beauty and honesty. He was like, take that stuff out of the camp. Separates yourself from moral uncleanliness to honor and reverence Jesus. So carry a shovel with you. See, God wants you to carry a shovel with you to dig into his depths, but he also, come on somebody, wants you to carry the shovel and his sword to actually cut in deep. Pull out the junk that's in. Is this okay? So carry a shovel. And this is what I heard the Lord say as we move on. He said, Ryan, tell them this is a season of get the shovel. He said, Ryan, he says, this is a time for them to dig up the fecal matter that past generations planted in their bloodline and their region. Come on. I hope I made some of you upset about that. He said fecal matter in church. It's just a representation of those things that are vile and corrupt and came out of your body for a reason. You go to San Francisco, California right now, you can easily see how much of a health concern and how much of a disturbance and an annoyance people's fecal matter is that is physically on the streets of San Francisco. And yes, I said that online. Because there's people that don't got shovels, courtesy, maturity, and dignity to clean their house. Can I tell you something? The enemy has been pooping over this region for too long, and I believe this house is a house that is equipped to have shovels with their equipment continuously. Come on, somebody, to where you're digging up the fecal matter that past generations planted in your bloodline and region, where you're going to get it out of the camp. Does that make sense? Like, you're not digging up an old thing and making it a new issue. You're saying, man, this has been an issue, and I'm anointed by God, come on, somebody, to not only clean my house, but to clean the region and to clean my community and clean my bloodline up. This thing stops with me. Can I tell you something? Whenever I became born again, God equipped me with the shovel. My dad left me when I was 2 years old, cheated on my mama. God bless him. He's redeemed. He's saved. He's born again, but he has a past. Come on. And there is something that could have been incorporated in my bloodline that my son and daughter and future kids would see, but the Lord has equipped me with watches, righteousness and truth and his word. And when I hear his word and do it, I'm not only founding myself on the rock and going in deep with the Lord, I'm establishing a legacy where my kids and my wife get to be established on that foundation. What am I trying to say? I have a shovel and watch. Whatever was in my bloodline, by God speaking to me, me listening to him, honoring him and obeying him, I'm not just taking his thoughts and getting goosebumps. I'm taking his thoughts and implementing them. I'm a person on the rock, and I'm establishing my family on the rock, and I'm introducing through the shovel the new thing that's going to be in our bloodline, that of righteousness, that of courage. Come on, somebody. My son is going to be one who rises up in my house in the name of Jesus with such dignity and with such maturity in the name of Jesus. It's going to be hard for him to be rebellious, and he's, watch, going to be on a moral foundation, a moral standard in his life where he is going to treat women, come on somebody, because of what he's seen in me, because I chose to dig out of my bloodline the disrespectful fecal matter, come on somebody, and I've incorporated now with the shovel the righteousness of the Lord, and for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is this making sense? So husbands, wives, get your shovels. Because can I tell you something? Whatever was dropped into your bloodline, that is fecal matter, God's going to remove. And he's going to use you to do so. What's that look like? Can I tell you something? I'm not going and digging up everything about my dad's past, or I'm not going to fling that at him because that's gross. You know what I'm saying? But there is things that I'm aware of because my mama made sure she reminded me. And then that messes with your head. But instead of just letting it be a health caution in my life, making me unhealthy, I got it out of the camp, and I'm getting it out of the camp. Church, it's time that you get a shovel and dig up that stuff that has found itself in your bloodline or in your region. What does that look like? How do you do that? Let me just give you a quick thought on that. How you do that is you hear the word of the Lord. Don't just be a hearer, but be a doer. And incorporate and make a part and be one with what flows so beautifully from your Father. And what you're doing is you're getting a shovel, and you're digging up and removing, but also now in its place, you're planting the righteousness of the Lord. I'm not downing my dad. Please hear my heart. Don't go off and be like, man, that was mean about his dad. No. I just refuse to allow that fecal matter to be in my bloodline, and I'm going to dig it up, and I'm going to get it out. Like, man, I can get a temper, I can have an attitude, and that's my mama and my daddy. But you know what? I'm digging that out of my genes because I'm a new creation. And the sayings of Jesus that I need to dig up and bring into my life is the words of Jesus is to walk softly, to walk meek, to walk mild, but also in authority. And I'm learning the balance of that and incorporating that in my life that my son and daughter and future kids get to see, and I pray walk out. Because if I'm experiencing the negative things that were dug and brought into my bloodline, and I'm removing them in Jesus' name, I have the ability to actually lay a legacy that would stir up my children to good works. Is this making sense? So get a shovel. Get your shovels, and this is what I wrote here. dig wells for this region and for the Isaacs in your life that will untap those wells and drink from them. Dig in deep with the Lord so that your children and your family can drink from that while you're here and drink from it long after you're gone. Get your shovels. When you get a shovel, you break up the ground. And what I believe the Lord is saying to this church is there's a shovel that's in the leadership's hand, and there should be a shovel in you to bring a breaking to your region and bring a breaking to your families and into your life. Is this okay? God is releasing a shovel, I feel like, in this season to bring a cleanliness and to bring a breaking, breaking the ground. Get your shovels, because watch, a shovel pierces, a shovel breaks the ground for removal, retrieval, and planting. And I talked about the removal part, but let's talk about the retrieval. See, in your intimacy with the Lord, it's like you have a shovel, and you're tapping into the depths of Jesus. And the very things he reveals to you, he plants in your heart and mind, but then it's a seed for you to plant into your society and your culture. Get your shovel. It's like me and my wife going, because we don't know where seeds will end up eventually. We're buying up seeds right now, you know what I mean, for our garden. Not doomsday preparing, just getting seeds, you know what I'm saying? Because if they make decisions, try to get rid of them, we'll have them. And we got seeds, and can I tell you something? Those seeds came from fruit. Something that has already been born. See, whenever you get a shovel and you have intimacy with the Lord, he pierces your heart with his sword. And you retrieve from his beauty. You retrieve from his grace. You retrieve from his mercy as you engage with him through intimacy. And you become fruitful. You become a benefactor of it. But can I tell you something? You're also called to get a shovel and then plant. Take what it is that you've received and release it. Because you've given, watch, you've been given the authority, the permission to come to his throne room with boldness and retrieve from his depths. So get your shovel. But you also have the authority to take what you have and be like Peter and John. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give. Boom. Can I tell you something? Where you dig around determines what you impart. What you're digging around in, the sandbox that you're digging around in, will determine what you impart to others. So get your shovels and dig into him. Is this making sense? Let's move on. I'm not going to be real long, but I need to lay this foundation, and it's a long one. I get it, but it's good. So get your shovels, because piercing and breaking comes with a shovel for removal, retrieval, and planting. Get your shovels and dig into, tap into the revelatory realms of Jesus in his kingdom and get lost in the depths of it. Get your shovels. Let's dig in. God's not shallow. He remains under the surface. And it's found and it's discovered by those who say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to seek you. There is things that you want me to retrieve that I'm a benefactor of. But Lord, there's things that you want me to retrieve because, Lord, you have me releasing in mind. So I want to go in deep for myself, but I also want to go in deep for the benefits of others. So get your shovels and dig into, tap into the revelatory realms of Jesus and his kingdom and go deep. So I want to draw our attentions briefly to now our reading in Luke 22, 23 through 30. We're not going to read it again. I'm just bringing the scripture up. How many of you know that these disciples here in this moment were acting shallow? It's like a slang. You ever act like that? That's so shallow. You're just so shallow. They lack depth. They lack depth. They're fighting over what matters the least. Missing what matters the most. They're acting shallow. They're acting petty, if I can say it that way. Who's the greatest? It's like they quickly talked about who's betraying Jesus here. Is it me? Is it you? Right? Self-examination. But then all of a sudden they go into this, Who's the greatest? Now they're making it about us, themselves, rather than making it about Jesus. You will always live in the shallow end when you make it about you and you don't make it about Jesus. But they were acting shallow, man. They were acting petty. And you know what? Sometimes we act shallow. We act out of the shallowness, the shallow end of the swimming pool. And we lack depth. We lack substance. And it's time that us as the body of Christ get a shovel and go deep, grow and mature in him and in the faith. Because can I tell you this? Watch. I was driving in Parkersburg, West Virginia not too long ago, and I love sunflower seeds. I love popping them in my mouth and just eating them, man. They're amazing, right? Love sunflower seeds. Obviously, I don't eat the shell. I love the sunflower. And I love the barbecue flavor. That's my favorite. You know what I'm saying? And I was driving, and I was eating these barbecue-flavored sunflower seeds, and I was, I know this is going to sound gross, spitting them in my hand, driving, and then every so often, like when I came to a stop, I dumped my hand out the window. And I was casting these shells, but not seeds. Watch, what I was throwing on the ground had no value. And I wonder how many of us operate in the shallow end. We have a shell, but we have no substance. And we're adding nothing of value, of seed form, of depth to our conversations and to our relationships because we ourselves are shallow. We lack depth. Because watch, you can plant shells all day long and get no plant. Get no healthy result. It might change, watch this, the terrain and the image of the terrain, but watch this, it brings no transformative, permanent change, that of worth and value. How many of you know that you act shallow when you get in an argument with your wife or your husband? But whenever you have a conversation to bring a healthy development, now you're bringing substance to the table. We have people bringing shells to the table with no substance because they're not getting their shovels through intimacy and digging in deep to the revelatory realms of heaven. You guys okay? Because you aren't looking at me as nice anymore. He just called me petty and shallow. No. I put myself under this microscope. There's things, man, I can get into arguments with my wife. I'll bring up her monthly thing, and I'll be like, man, you're just acting like this. You PMSing. Woo! Yeah, the women go, woo! That was shallow. That was a shallow statement. That brought no depth to the relationship, no depth to her. If anything, it was a shallow, watch this, statement, a shell that changed the imagery of the terrain for a moment, but not for the good. But whenever she acts up or I act up and we speak in love through conversation and correction, we bring substance that brings nutritional value to the relationship. Is this making sense? So we need to get our shovels, dig in deep for our own benefit, but then watch this, dig in deep to the Lord, have revelation that we operate out of, that we host and honor from that is his, but it's ours now, and we steward it to where we're bringing substance from depth to our relationships. Get your shovels. I'm going to make this quick. So they lack depth. And there's problems that come when you lack depth. You okay if I break this down real quick? There is certain things, watch this, there is certain problems that come with a person lacking depth. And here's some of the things that I wrote down. Are you okay? This isn't beating you up or condemning you. This is to stir you up to get your shovel. And I'm going to give some practical steps and applications here. But there's just some things you got to walk out in your own prayer life with Jesus to get depth. But I'll give you some substance here in just a minute. I'm laying a big foundation. So watch. There's problems that come with lacking depth. One of them is structures are compromised when they lack depth. Structures are compromised in their strength. Their strength is compromised when the building or the structure lacks depth. It's like a business having the greatest product ever, but having no teamwork, no unity, no strength in their relationships with one another. The structure, though they have a good product, is compromised because of immorality, immaturity, and the lack of moral standard within their team. The structure of a marriage and the strength of a marriage, watch this, can lack strength if it lacks depth. Because there's young people in here, I won't go real detailed with this, but if a relationship is only based off of intimacy in the bedroom, but there is nothing of value that you're sinking your teeth into of substance, then that structured, that marriage and its structure will be compromised of its strength. Does this make sense? I'm just trying to give examples here to that statement, okay? Structures are compromised when it lacks depth. Things spoken will lack value if it lacks depth. It's like a shell with no substance inside. You're talking, but you're offering nothing of value. A joke will make you laugh. A corrective word will make you think and can change your life. If all you have with Pastor Brian, which I know you don't, is a laughing relationship, you lack depth for life. If all Pastor shares with you, and I know he does, and I'm just using this as an example, if all he shares with you is a regurgitated word that he's preached 16 times, he lacks depth, but you might lack depth because you're not receiving what he's saying and the Lord hasn't continued to bring it up. I'm not downing, y'all are quiet now, some of you. I'm not being mean here, I'm just trying to lay a foundation. We need depth. We need to get our shovels. We need to retrieve something of substance that benefits our life, empowers us, and then empowers our relationships. An example of this real quick as we move on, let me put myself under this microscope. Me and my wife, listen, let me share this with you, with my son. If all I am is a friend to him and not a father, he'll lack depth in life. And our relationship, because a friendship can look deep, but it's not because I'm just his friend, but a father pulls him aside and gives him substance that can change his life, direct his life, and give his life depth. And that's what the Father wants to do for us. And that's what I believe Jesus did with these disciples when they were acting shallow. He gave them substance to bring them into a depth to where they were removing from their camp immaturity and establishing themselves on the rock. Not just being a hearer of the word, but now doing something. Not just having the thoughts of God, but still building on the sand, but believing the thoughts of God, it changing their life because they're receiving the substance that he gives them. Now their substance has depth. Their life has substance of depth. And now they are literally walking out the things of the Lord with depth. So where if anything like this happens again, those who captured what Jesus was saying, listen, guys, this was petty before, it's petty now. Let's stop talking about who's the greatest. And let's work together on serving. Does this make sense? So real quick. Things done by a person will lack strength if that person lacks structure, stability, and maturity. Destructive tendencies will be in abundance in a life that lacks depth of vision, clarity, and accountability in their life. The lack of depth is the result of a lack. Let me say that. The lack of depth is the result of a life hack. There is something that has hacked into your life, has caused you to operate in the ignorance of his goodness, to where now, and this isn't downing you, I'm not beating this church up, I love you guys, but there's a depth that God wants us to operate out of and operate into. It's time to get our shovels. So real quick, to break this down, as I'm going to wrap this up, God wants us to have depth, but how do we reach this depth? How do we reach levels of maturity? And I know there's probably so much Pastor Brian could bring up and has That's way better than what I have on this paper, but or on this iPad. But can I just share just briefly a few things that I believe we can do to reach depth and maturity? Number one, self-evaluation or self-examination. Self-examination will challenge you, but if handled properly, will improve you. Self-examination will challenge you. This challenging time is a crucial time. It's crucial because three kingdoms in this time are battling for your attention and say of direction. You've got the kingdom, God's kingdom, your kingdom, and the enemy's kingdom. You become self-aware through self-examination. How many of you know I think it's okay to take an inventory of your life and say, I can do this better? God chastises those that he loves. He only corrects because we can do it better. Self-examination. But in the midst of the self-examination, there's three kingdoms battling for our attention and say of our direction. We got God's kingdom, our kingdom, and the enemy's kingdom. Two out of the three must crumble while the other rises to the top of supreme superiority in our life. God's kingdom. Because in our self-examination and awareness of something, our kingdom gets depressed, gets frustrated, and gets lazy when we start digging around in our life. The enemy's kingdom is all about condemnation. How dare you have that in your life? God's kingdom exposes it and says, let's work together and get it out of your life. But it's done in love. It's done in mercy. What you may discover in this examination may at first alarm you, but if you let the Lord direct you, it will improve you. Self-examination brings about self-awareness. Self-examination and awareness causes us to become aware of our current state of mind, health, and wealth, and well-being. Self-examination, honestly, sometimes can actually lead to mental mutilation. Man, I can't believe I'm like that. I can't believe I'm doing that. And God's like, listen, we're just getting a shovel, man. We're cleansing the tent or the camp. We're just going to get this out of your life because I'm bringing you deep in life. You've been acting shallow, but I love you. Come on, let's get this out of your life. But it can lead to mental mutilation, insecurity, discouragement, sorrow, frustration, and being overwhelmed. And see, this is what the enemy would like. This is what the enemy would like us alone to wander around in, like this mental mutilation, this loneliness, this sorrow, this frustration. I'm not perfect. I could be doing better. But that doesn't render you active. It renders you inactive. It paralyzes you. But there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There is no condemnation, but there is correction. But the reason God is correcting you is he's trying to direct out of you the things that shouldn't be in your camp. And so I believe self-examination will lead to depth because it's digging out, it's removing, but it's also retrieving something. You guys okay? If you examine... But watch, see, if you don't examine something with precious Holy Spirit, you won't approach what you discover with his mindset and his perspective. If you examine your heart with Holy Spirit, it leads to his heart, which leads to instruction, fresh eyes, new goals, inspiration and motivation, improvement, healing, and health. And you might be like, man, you're saying all that real fast. Break it down. I don't got time. But when you look to Holy Spirit and he examines things in your life, it doesn't lead to mental mutilation. It leads to direction, a fresh set of eyes, new goals where you leave the old and embrace the new and reach the depth in your own life that God wants you to have. You used to act petty when someone didn't say hi to you. You were shallow. Come on, you lacked depth. You got all insecure and upset. What is wrong with me? Why didn't the pastor hug me? He hugged me for the past 5 weeks, and this week he didn't. But then you examine that part in your life, and instead of trying to make it about him, he's the one that betrayed Jesus. No. You got to look inside of you and saying, why am I... self-mutilating right now and being destructed right now by this lie. Like, what's in me that needs to change? And you start exploring that with the Holy Spirit, and then Holy Spirit starts showing you, listen, man, he's good, he's busy, he just didn't hug you. You get a fresh pair of eyes, and then he starts speaking to you to transform something in you to where the next time he doesn't hug you, you don't act shallow. You got depth. He might be busy. It's cool. Or guess what? Maybe you'll be motivated to go give him a hug instead of him coming and hugging you all the time. Because now you're out operating in the deep end, not the shallow end. Self-examination with the Holy Spirit will lead to instruction, which leads to a process, which leads to improvement for the one who says, "Here I am." So much more I could say about that, but I'm going to move on to the next one. Self-examination with the Holy Spirit will lead to instruction. They were given instruction in Deuteronomy 23, get this out of the camp. Don't have this in the camp. Instruction is a weapon to adversaries and a scalpel to friends. Proper instruction inspires an individual towards abnormal behavior. Abnormal because it's outside of your norm that is being addressed. And watch, proper instruction inspires an individual toward abnormal behavior that may be stretching but becomes substantial and transformative. Why did I say earlier, though, that instruction is a weapon to adversaries and a scalpel to friends? You need to embrace his instructions and the instructions of others and be teachable if you're ever to step out of what's shallow and reach the depths that God wants you to operate out of. Why is it a weapon to adversaries, but yet it's a scalpel to friends? Listen, God will give you instruction. He'll give you truth to cut something out of you. So it's a surgical tool, but you're his friend. But instruction is a weapon, come on, that destroys ignorance, dullness, shallowness, pettiness. Instruction's a shovel that digs a hole and puts in you something of depth. And if stewarded and walked out by you, you'll be one that's on the rock. And when the pastor don't hug you, you're not acting petty, thinking you're not the greatest. You got instruction on how to serve him to where you occupy yourself serving him and not operating out of shallowness and say, "Man, he must not love me." And I'm just using that as an example because I'm sure Pastor Brian hugs everybody. I'm going to wrap this up, though. Instruction. So can I tell you something? Put yourself in an environment of instruction. Stop thinking about criticism in receiving instruction. If you're fed up with, "I'm self-aware," because self-awareness, a self-examination brings an awareness, and an awareness will either say, "I'm fine with where I'm at," or it will provoke you to say, "I'm not." Do you know God will permit agitation? Because he promotes growth. And he will agitate you enough to where you stand up and say, "Man, I need to get some instruction here. Because I'm tired of living in insanity." And instruction will not only give you a theological depth, if received and stewarded by faith in honor to the Lord, it will bring you a depth in life that you operate out of that will bless others. As I finish, the next step to reaching depth is forgiveness. You got to forgive yourself for how you operated and what you look like when you were ignorant. God doesn't give you instruction to be a weapon against you, so to speak, but to terrorize what's been in you. And you need to forgive yourself that you left that thing in your camp. You need to forgive yourself that you don't have depth right now concerning something. You need to forgive yourself. What's that look like? Well, God gives you a revelation on what it should look like. And what we do is we automatically examine our life in ignorance. And then we feel guilty and condemned. Forgive yourself and start giving God praise. That's not how I have to be if I embrace this instruction. God, you didn't give this to me so I look back and condemn myself. You gave me this instruction so I can celebrate what things are going to look like, because I'm going to grab it and embrace it. I'm going to get a shovel, let you dig that hole, and plant this in my life. Is this making sense? So forgive yourself. I don't even know what number we're on. Work and continue to work on your how. Or let me say it this way, continue to work on your what and how. Do you know, guys, I preach a lot every year, at least 80 plus messages a year. Because of, I preached one time, two and a half days, I preached seven times. I'm not bragging, but it's a lot. And I try to bring fresh rhema all the time, so it's a lot of time with Jesus. And I love it. And I'm not bragging, but I want my messages to have depth, to have substance. So I got to hang out with the one who's deep. Deep is crying out the deep. And so, long story short, just recently, though, I was on the couch YouTubing some stuff, and I won't tell you the videos I was watching. It was good. It was mortally good. But I got a shovel out because I want to operate in my preaching in a deeper level. And a lot of that, please, is in the bedroom praying and spending time with Jesus' feet. I don't want to get worldly here. But I sat in front of a screen and watched some videos that was improving my how I preach. Not what I preach, because I get that from the throne. I need to embrace my own uniqueness. I understand all of that. But we got too many shallow preachers because they're not being developed in the depths through intimacy, through instruction, through correction. We have too many preachers preaching out of ignorance. And I want to be well acquainted with the Lord. And I want to steward what he left me borrow. And he's given me a mic to preach the gospel. And so I'm going to always improve my how. Does this make sense? So sit with a mentor. Sit with a teacher. Sit with a father, uncle, whatever. Sit with them and improve your how. And continue to discover what. Is that making sense? And if I could have, if it's cool, if I could have your man get up on the guitar, because I'm going to wind this up. Continue to be in environments. This is the last one. Intentionally place yourself in environments that stretch you. And then assert or implement what it is you're learning. Practice it. Walk it out. Is this making sense? Because then your testimony will give you a depth that you can't just read about. Because how many of you know that there's people that read the books in industries and then try to tell the people that do it with their hands how to do it? But those who walk it out are the ones that have the greatest depth. So here's the thing. Don't just be a hearer. Be a doer. Put yourself in environments. Like me and Pastor Brian and Kevin were talking. I won't tell it. It was good, but I'm not going to say what we were talking about last night. But he provoked me to something that I'm going to go and explore with my wife when we get home. I get home. I'm going to implement the information, the instruction, because I want my finances and I want my legacy to have depth. So I'm getting my shovel and I'm digging up and going deep with Jesus. And the way you do that is hear and implement. Hear and do. Is this making sense? Because listen, you can hear from the Lord and have the thoughts, but if you want to be a person that has depth and have a firm foundation, do. Because those who read the book try to tell people that are doing it with their hands what to do. It doesn't work that way. The person that does it with their hands has a greater understanding than the ones who just read it. So my question as you stand, if you could just stand. My question to you, and I went longer than I wanted, but I had to break that down. I believe this is a year, this is a banner, and I know this is an odd word, but there's a shovel over y'all. There's a breaking, there's a removal, and there's a retrieval, personally and corporately. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes, and this is what I want you to ask the Lord. Lord, what thought did I receive but not welcome? Or, because there's some of you that need to get the shovel and you need to implement what it is the Lord released over you. And you're like, man, God, I'm and this thing is shallow right now, But the Lord says, there's a depth to what I revealed to you, but it's only discovered through your obedience. So you got to ask yourself, okay, God, I want to go deep. So my obedience, walking this out, taking the steps that I first know have in my heart, I'm going to walk that out first. And when I walk it out, Lord, I believe you're going to draw me into a depth of understanding of this thing. And then maybe you're here today and you're saying, no, I got that. I'm walking that out. I just want more depth in my relationship. I want more depth in this. Okay, maybe you've examined yourself. Now the instruction, lean into instruction. And I just pray for a release of revelation, a release of instruction that causes you to go deep so you can operate out of those depths in your family and in your region. So, Lord, I pray for that revelation to come. I pray for that conviction and that provoking to come for people to actually implement what you've spoken, and they'll reach a depth from that obedience, walking it out, Lord, the best way they know how, with what they got. There's a depth of understanding that comes to the obedient, is what the Lord is saying. So provoke them to be obedient. Lord, I pray for revelation to be released over these people. And this is what I'm going to say, is I want to invite you to come. We'll pray, or you can just pray with the Lord yourself. But the last thing I wanted to say is, maybe you're here and you're saying, you know what, I want that shovel to come and dig out something that's been planted by the enemy. It might not be in your bloodline. It just might be into your today. I believe there's a shovel that God just wants to come and dig that out and cleanse the camp, remove it from your camp. Maybe you'd want the shovel of the Lord to come and you want to retrieve something from the Lord. All of the above is what I believe God is doing in the room right now, and what God's doing in the church. Lord, we just cry out to you, and we know you're deep, Lord. Bring us into the depths of you so that, Jesus, you gave the disciples instruction when they were acting shallow. We just pray that you give us instruction and help us to operate in the deep. Lord, we just thank you for that. Lord, I just bless this church, and I bless what rests on this church in Jesus' name. And I'm going to hand the mic over, but I'm going to take your lead because we didn't talk about this part. But I'm here to pray for you then. If you want healing in your body, let's believe for that. If you want to see a retrieval of something or a removal of something or all the other stuff I was talking about, I believe God's going to release a shovel over us today, and we'll pray for you. I'm going to honor this man and let him take the lead on what that's going to look like, but we're here to pray for you if that's his leading. Amen? Bless you guys. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church Podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener-supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church, and you can find an easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.